Nashta praeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship of transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact.
And he fell down in front of her face. So that needs to go and fix it. Take a look at Subhadra. You see there's something hanging. Okay. Yeah, it just fell in front of her face.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 4. And today we begin with 14, which has no purport, so I'll recite that one myself. And then we'll do 15 responsibly. Ityarajitokta paramasya pungsak pratikshana nugraha bhajanoham snehotaroma skalitaksharastang Munchan Chuchach Pranjalir Abhapase. Translation. Uddhava said, O Vidura, when I was thus favored at every moment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and addressed by Him with great affection, my words failed in tears and the hairs on my body erupted. After smearing my tears, I, with folded hands, spoke like this. Okay, 15 will do. Responsively. Ko nu isha te pada saroja bhajam sudulabo arteshu chatorshu apiha tathapi naham parvrinomi Bhuman Bhavat Padamboja Nishivana Notsaka Konvishate Pada Saroja Bhajam Sudurla Borte Shuchaturshvapiha Tatapinahang Pravrinomi Bhuman Bhavat Padam Bodhani Shevanotsukaha. So be aware, you have to run these words together. That first word, if you look in the synonyms, is kaha. But to keep the meter, it's run together with the word after that, and nu becomes NV, so you can run it in together. So don't try to, you know, recite them separately. Listen carefully. Konvishate pada saroja bhajam Sudurla borte shuchaturshvapiha Tatapinahang prabrinomi bhuman Bhavat padam bojanisheva notsukaha Konvishate pada saroja bhajam Sudurla borte shuchaturshvapiha Tatapinahang prabrinomi bhuman Bhavat padam bojanisheva notsukaha. Please chant. Konvishate parasaroja bhajam. Konvishate parasaroja bhajam. Sudorla borte shuchatorshva piha. Tatapinang pravrinomi bhuman. Babat padam bojanisheva notsukaha. Konvishate parasaroja bhajam. Tidur laborate shuchatorsha people. Tatapinahang pravinomi bhuman. Vaishnavis. Konvishate parasaroja bhajam. Sudorla borte shuchatorsva piha. Tatapinahang pravinomi bhuman. Pavatpadam bojanisheva notsukaha. Okay, synonyms. Kanu Isha. Oh my Lord. Te your Parasaroja Bhajam. Of the devotees engaged in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet. Tudurla Bhaha. Very difficult to obtain. Arteshu. In the matter of Chaturshu, in the four objectives, Api, in spite of Iha, in this world, Tata Api, yet, Na, do not, Aham, I, Pravrinomi, prefer, Bhuman, O Great One, Bhavat, your Pada Ambhoja, lotus feet, Nishevana Utsukaha, anxious to serve. So, proper translation for this verse. O my Lord, devotees who engage in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of the four principles of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But, O Great One, as far as I am concerned, I have preferred only to engage in the loving service of your lotus feet. Please repeat, O my Lord, devotees who engage in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of the four principles of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But, O Great One, as far as I am concerned, I have preferred only to engage in the loving service of your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Those who are associated with the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets achieve all the bodily features of the Lord and appear to be the same as Lord Vishnu. And we have two examples here, Jai and Vijay. So that's what Lord Vishnu looks like with just a couple of other adornments. Such liberation is called Sarupya Mukti, which is one of the five kinds of liberation. The devotees engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord never accept the Sayuja Mukti, or merging in the rays of the Lord called the Brahma Jyoti. the devotees can achieve not only liberation, but any success in the realm of religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification up to the standard of the demigods in the heavenly planets. But such a pure devotee as Uddhava refuses to accept all such facilities. A pure devotee wants simply to engage in the service of the Lord and does not consider his own personal benefit. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tadamini Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashyate Dishtarine Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Nvaisyavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vatamsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kopa turubhya sha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaisyavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this requires some mature understanding, because here it's stated at the end of the purport that Uddhava, being a pure devotee, would not accept any kind of liberation or material opulence. So does that mean he was living like a beggar on the street, you know, wearing torn cloth? And no, sometimes people totally misunderstand it. And in India today, they still misunderstand that. They think a sadhu is somebody who walks around practically naked. Some of them do, the Nagababas. And, you know, doesn't have a house anywhere, doesn't own any possessions. And what a great soul. Oh, sadhu, sadhu. Never mind he's smoking bidis or ganja or, you know, has a couple of girlfriends and, you know. No. As long as he's dressed like that, ashes smeared on the forehead and a hardly any clothing, oh, he's a sadhu. No. A sadhu, proper stated over and over again, is a devotee of the Lord. And a devotee of the Lord can exist in any way that fits into the Lord's pastimes. Kolava Sridhar, he was very poor. Thatched cottage with holes so the rain would come in. And because he was chanting in ecstasy all night, the neighbors thought he was crying because he was hungry. So they would say, hey, go eat something, stop the noise. No, he was chanting Hare Krishna in ecstasy. And he wasn't begging for any money. He was selling his banana leaf plates and bananas. Whatever income he gave, 50% he was using for worshiping the Ganges. Lord Chaitanya would come to him daily and bargain with him. Kolavich, you're cheating the public. You're selling these bananas so expensive. I'm not even going to pay you. I'm just going to take them. Ecstatic exchange. And he wasn't begging. Later on, when the Lord showed his Mahaprakashas, showed all the devotees that he really was the Lord. He wasn't just a devotee of the Lord. So he called Kolavich Sridhar and he asked him, what do you want, Kolavich? I'll give you anything. No, my Lord. Just lifetime after lifetime, please come and steal my bananas. Didn't want any money. So that's one level of existence for the devotees. But it's not that all devotees have to be on that level. On the other extreme, we have the Pandavas. Although they were put into difficulty, they manifested great opulence. Their palace and Prataparudra in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, king of Orissa, vast wealth. So the devotees are not so easy to understand, because even though they don't want Krishna Prabhupada. He was Prabhupada when he came penniless and when he left this world with millions of dollars at his disposal. So the point is that the devotee is not affected by any situation. Doesn't matter where they are, how much they have or don't have. Whatever they have, they use in Krishna service. Uddhava himself, he was living in Dwarka with Krishna. It's not that he was living on the street begging. He was living, I'm sure, in one of the palaces. He was living very opulent lifestyle, because that's the lifestyle that Krishna manifested, and Krishna wanted him as his companion under those circumstances. So it's not that the Lord himself was being served like we serve the devotees, the deities here, but the devotees were living on the street begging. No, they live on the same level. So it's not so easy to understand a Krishna devotee. Because even though the devotees are not praying for these things, they don't want them. Still, when they come by the Lord's arrangement, they know what to do with it. Prabhupada made fun, you know, poked some fun at. He says, in India, you have some of these so-called advanced spiritualists. When people try to give them money, say, no, I don't take money. Prabhupada said, we're not so fool. Gimme. Gimme. Because I know what to do with it. And you saw what Prabhupada did with money. Book production and distribution, temples, festivals. The devotees of the Lord know what to do with money. See, they don't foolishly shun it. They don't go, oh, don't give me. No, gimme. Money is the honey, give me. Because the devotees know how to properly spend Krishna's money. They're not foolishly thinking that it's theirs. When the Pandavas were ruling the whole planet, Yudhisthira was the emperor of the entire world. And his descendant, Parikshit Maharaj, same thing. Emperor of the whole world. They weren't foolishly thinking that the planet belongs to them. No, they know it's Krishna's property and it has to be used properly in his service. So similarly, when the devotee is given opulence, so many temples and cars, and Prabhupada would say, he said, you know, some people are very amazed by someone who can produce an apple, apparently magically. But he said, around the world, I have so many temples, and in each temple, there are so many devotees, and so many vehicles, and so many apples. I don't have to show any magic. So many apples. So this is a devotee. They're not foolishly thinking that things belong to them. They know it belongs to Krishna. So here in today's verse, it is being stressed, again, that the devotee, just by being a pure devotee of the Lord, they get everything. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Everything comes along. And this is stated by a very famous devotee, Milva Mangaladas Thakur. Most of you know this story, but we have some new devotees here, so I'll just tell briefly that Milva Mangaladas Thakur, he took birth in a well-to-do Brahmin family, so he was raised properly in Vedic culture. But somehow or other, he developed an attraction for this prostitute. Now, we should understand that Prabhupada uses the word prostitute, which he, you know, used many times in his classes. It's not like we think of some woman walking up and down the street looking for somebody to pay money and, you know, enjoy her body. Not like that. A kept woman, what we would call in today's language a mistress. So there were such women when Krishna was on the planet, even 5,000 years ago. So Milva Mangaladas Thakur, in his day and time, there were women like that who were kept by well-to-do gentlemen so they could have some extramarital affairs like that. But it wasn't, like I said, not what we think of as a prostitute nowadays. So he developed an attraction for this woman named Chintamani. And he would regularly go to see her. And his attachment was so deep that it's mentioned one night it was raining and horrible weather, but he was so determined to go and see this Chintamani that he went out in the bad weather. The river had flooded. He couldn't find a boat to go across the river, so he grabbed onto some what he thought was a log. But by the time he got to the other side, he realized he was holding onto a corpse. So determined, he got to the other side. The compound, there was a fence around it. He couldn't get over. He was looking for a way to get over, so he grabbed on what he thought was a rope, but it was a snake, you know, like that. So with great determination, he went to see this Chintamani. So when he knocked on the door and she let him in, she said, "What are you doing here? In this kind of weather, you came to see me?" She said, obviously inspired by the Super Soul, "If you had as much devotion for Krishna as you have for coming for my body, this material body, you would be a great devotee." So that snapped him out of his attachment. And he determined that he would leave that place and go on pilgrimage. So he did that. That much determination he had. So he left home, was going on pilgrimage to the holy places, and along the way, again, developed an attraction for a woman. So someone may ask, how does this happen? Because that is the attraction between the sexes is a shackle that keeps us in this material world. It is a perverted reflection of our attraction to Krishna. Just like Uddhava here is totally attracted to Krishna. Doesn't mean that he didn't like anybody else. No. But his attraction for Krishna was stronger. The example I like to use is the Pandavas themselves. They were all so devoted to Draupadi, their wife. One of their, you know, each of them had other wives, but Draupadi was the common wife of the five of them. That's another story we could tell some other time. But they were so attracted to her and devoted to her that the whole Mahabharat war, Kurukshetra war, was fought just because she was dishonored. In other words, they were willing to risk their own lives to uphold the honor of their wife, Draupadi. But when it was time to go back to God, it had stated in the Bhagavatam, the five of them walked out of the palace and didn't even look back. They knew it was time to go home, back to Krishna. So their attraction for Krishna was so strong, they left everything. Draupadi, their mother Kunti, that they were completely... Kunti and Draupadi happened to see them leaving, and then they also followed. But my point is, when we hear that a pure devotee is attracted to Krishna, it doesn't mean that they don't like anybody else or they have no attraction for anybody else. It just means that the attraction to Krishna is strongest. And that's what we're trying to revive. Right now our attraction, speaking for myself, is still there to Krishna's energy, not completely to Krishna. So that's the mixed stage. So Bilva Mangala Thakur obviously was exhibiting this mixed stage of devotion. He had some attraction to Krishna. He wanted to go on pilgrimage to strengthen that attraction. But along the way, his attraction to matter manifested again. So he became attracted to this beautiful woman that he happened to see, but she was married. So he followed her home, and when he got to the home, the husband came and said, "What's going on?" And he was honest. He said, "I have to be honest. I'm attracted to your wife." And the husband, it stated, you could see that he was not just some, you know, weird guy. He was obviously a high-class brahmana. So the husband, some may object, how could he do this? But the husband said, "You're a high-class brahmin gentleman. You're attracted to my wife. You can enjoy with my wife." And Bilva Mangala Thakur became so horrified by his desire to enjoy somebody else's wife that he asked the wife to give one of her hairpins. And she gave the hairpin, and he used it to voluntarily blind himself. Now, we're not saying any of you should do that if you're still attracted to the opposite sex. Don't go out and blind yourself. That's not the solution. But Bilva Mangala Thakur was setting an example. So in that blind state, he wound up in Vrindavan. And even though he was blind externally, internally he was seeing Krishna and associated with Krishna every day. And he wrote so many nice scriptures. We accept them as scriptures. So many nice poems about Krishna. Because one of the 26 qualities of a devotee is kavi. The devotee becomes very... kavi doesn't just mean a poet. Because many people consider themselves to be poets, but they just write nonsense. I know myself, I thought I was a poet. When I first joined the movement, I wrote some poetry about my realizations of... I wouldn't even repeat to you what I wrote. But poetry in the sense of the in the Vaishnava sense means very strict adherence to Sanskrit meter and, you know, like that. There are rules for writing Sanskrit poetry. So he wrote very nice poetry, one of which is called Krishna Karnamrita. So in his Krishna Karnamrita, he mentions specifically what's being spoken about in today's purport, that because of my devotion to you, O Krishna, in your youthful form, then mukti svayam mukutanjali sevate smat, that mukti personified is standing at my door, and not just standing, Mukutanjali. Anjali, this is Anjali Mudra for the young devotees who don't know. Yeah, there are different mudras that you can make with your hand. And one of them is this called...
You see everybody do that. That is called...
Anjali Mudra. So, Mukti Swayam. Mukutanjali. Sevate Smat. She's standing at my door with folded hands, waiting to serve me. And therefore, Dharmartha Kama. All of these things are with her. She's not alone. So, religiosity... economic development, and even mukti, liberation, and dharmartha kama, and even sense gratification. All of this comes along with mukti and is waiting to serve me. So the devotee, in other words, doesn't have to separately strive to become wealthy or, you know, become highly religious or get sense gratification. All of those things are waiting for the devotee. And the devotee engages in them properly. Just like in our line, many of our acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, they were married. So one may ask, as one sannyasi did, I've told the story before, but these new devotees haven't heard. Once on a morning walk, when sannyasi asked Srila Prabhupada, one of his disciples, sannyasis, asked him, Srila Prabhupada, why do pure devotees get married? In other words, he's thinking, pure devotees know this material world is maya, the form of a woman is maya, it's just skin and blood and bone and everything. So why would pure devotees get married? And Prabhupada said, because it's natural. So they kept walking along, and the same sannyasi still puzzled, he asked Prabhupada again, but Srila Prabhupada, why do pure devotees get married? And Prabhupada again said, because it's natural. So they kept walking along, and the third time he asked, Prabhupada, why do pure devotees get married? And Prabhupada said, you're asking because you want to get married. You see? So we should understand, when the pure devotees come in this world, they may exhibit extreme renunciation, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada's guru, did. Nice Sikhi Brahmacharya, never involved with women, complete renunciate. They may exhibit that kind of tendency. Or, for the most part, they go along with the normal flow of life. Brahmacharya life, followed by Grihastha life, followed by Vanaprastha life, followed by Sannyas. That's the what many, if not most of our acharyas in our line exhibited. And Lord Chaitanya himself, in the mood of a devotee, to teach us how to be a devotee of Krishna, he married twice. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he showed two extremes. He had unlimited unmarried girlfriends in his Vrindavan Leela, and then in his Dwarka Leela, he had 16,108 wives. So the point is, having a consort, a wife, is not unnatural. It's natural. But as Prabhupada says in the third canto, or the same third canto, that in the Vaikuntha realm, there are couples, man and wife. But their attraction to devotional service is so strong that there is no sex life in Vaikuntha. A lot of people may find that shocking because they're thinking they're going to die and go to heaven and they're going to have so many consorts and enjoy like anything. But Prabhupada said clearly, plainly in that purport, in the Vaikuntha realm, the attraction to serve the Lord is so strong that there is no sex attraction between men and women, even though they serve together. There is no sex life in the spiritual world. And therefore, there is no abortion and no divorce and stuff like that. It doesn't happen there. So, as is being pointed out by Uddhava in this, he's speaking to Krishna, that I'm so attracted to you, my Lord, that I have no desire for any of these things. But again, doesn't mean that he was a beggar on the street. Even though he had no desire for economic development or liberation or any of that thing stuff, still it was given to him. Because the Lord wants to see his devotees in nice situation. It's not that Krishna wants to see us be beggars on the street and not know what to eat next. And no. No. Prabhupada was just listening to a lecture. Prabhupada was saying that Krishna consciousness is nothing but recreation. You come to the temple, you chant, you dance nicely like our Bhakta Emil here. He's always dancing. That's natural. It's natural to dance in the kirtan. Don't hold yourself back. Of course, we try not to be too wild. But we dance. And we jump. It's natural. I first came to the temple in 75 as a young man, young brahmachari. And we were so full of energy when Prabhupada would lead a kirtan or any of the senior devotees would lead kirtan. We were jumping so high. I remember my feet were literally above that altar. I could jump so high back then. Can't do that anymore, but could jump really high because I grew up playing basketball on concrete in New York. So to jump up and down on a marble floor was nothing. So dancing, Prabhupada said, it's recreation. Chanting, it's recreation. When you get tired, you take prasadam. That's recreation. He said our process is nothing but recreation. So somebody may say, well, what about going out on the street and approaching people with books? Ask these devotees who've been doing it for decades. Recreation. They look forward to it every day. They're planning. I see Brigapati, right after class, he's out there with the band. He's packing, he's planning, he's calling Satchit Tenoy where we're going to go. It's recreation. They're enjoying. In the beginning, it may seem painful. To me, it seemed painful. They would, you know, even though I was at the BBT and most of the times I didn't have to go out, sometimes when things were a little slow, they would put us in vans and we'd have to go out for a week or so and distribute books. And for me, it wasn't natural. It was like... But for someone who surrendered, like Brigapati, like Satchit Tenoy, it's pleasure. Ask them. They enjoy going out and approaching the public. Excuse me, sir. Or now they're doing... that's the way they used to be at the airport. I know. I've gone out with him at the airport. Hey, where are you going, man? Stop. He stopped even... O.J. Simpson. One Christmas marathon, I was out with Brigo at the airport, LAX. And O.J. Simpson came in with his two children. And Brigo stopped him and tried to give him a book. He said, So he left, went down the concourse. And on the way back, he only had one child. The other one had gone, I guess, on a trip somewhere. So Brigo stopped him again and gave him the Bhagavad Gita. And he didn't want it, but his son, I think it was his son, said, no, take it. And he took the book and he said, I don't even know why I'm giving you this money, but he gave him, what did he give you? $5. So I'm convinced that those $5 saved him from, they finally put him in jail for supposedly murdering his wife. But if he hadn't bought that Gita from Brigu, he probably would have been killed, sentenced to hang or something. So any little engagement with a devotee of the Lord, you take one book, one pamphlet, give a few dollars, makes your future bright. It's the beginning of the end of your material existence. So again, today Uddhava is showing pure devotees, they don't want these things. And that's also, I'll finish with this, exhibited in a verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati that summarizes these things that are being offered, these kinds of liberation that are being offered, and the devotees reject. So he says, Kaivalyam narakayate, Shridashapur Akasha Pushpayate Durdang Tendriya Kala Sarpapatale Protkata Damsrayate Vishvam Purna Sukayate Vidimahendra Adis Chakitayate Yad Karuna Kataksha Vaivavavatam Tam Goram Avas Tumak. So that last line is the most important. It says, for one who has received the merciful sidelong glance of Lord Chaitanya, and Prabhupada says, not even looking at you fully like we look at each other. Just a glance. Just one who's got a merciful sidelong glance from Lord Chaitanya. These things become prominent. Kaivalyam narakayate. Kaivalya means this impersonal liberation into the Brahma Jyoti. For a devotee, that becomes less desirable than going to hell. They'd rather go to hell and serve the Lord than to accept Sayuja Mukti, merging into the Brahma Jyoti. Kaivalyam narakayate. Tridashapur Akasha Pushpayate. Tridashapur refers to the abode of the demigods, like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, like that. They have their heavenly planets. As mentioned today, the devotees can get opulence up to that level, but they don't want it. Tridashapur Akasha Pushpayate. They see the Tridashapur, the heavenly planet realm of the demigods, as being Akasha Pushpa. Akasha Pushpa means sky flowers. And it has two meanings. It's not real. Flowers don't grow in the sky. So to them, it's like unreal. And also, if you take some flowers and you throw them up in the sky, they don't stay. Go up for a second and then come back down again. So to the devotees, they intelligently know that to go to the heavenly planets and enjoy, you don't stay there. You have to come down again. Jinye punya marcha lokapishan. So, okay. Then Durdang Tendriya Kala Sarpapatalai, Protkata Dangsrayate. Many of the yogis, they leave the cities and towns, they go up into the Himalayas, live in a cave somewhere. Why? Because they're afraid of their senses being agitated and interacting improperly. In other words, they don't want to be attracted to women or money or whatever, so they go to some cave. But the devotees don't need to do that. For the devotees, the senses are still there, but they're compared to Sarpa dunks with a snake. Sarpa means snake with broken fangs. If a cobra were to come in this room, we would all run. But if you know the fangs have been removed, then they're not dangerous anymore. They can't bite you because they inject the poison, the venom, through the fangs. So if they have no fangs, then nobody's afraid. Then, Vishwa Purnam Sukhayate. We're telling everybody that this material world is a place of misery. Dukalayam Ashashvatam. But it seems the devotees are seeing it as a happy place. How is that? How so? Because, like Uddhava, the devotees are seeing Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, serving Krishna's lotus feet. So, no matter what happens, they're happy. I was just reading, because now we're on the verge, maybe, of nuclear war. And Prabhupada said, some devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, is there going to be nuclear war? What would happen? And Prabhupada said, yes, there may be, but they cannot stop Lord Chaitanya's movement. Not even a nuclear war can stop Lord Chaitanya's movement. Because it is the will of the Lord. It will go on. So don't be afraid. This Sankirtan movement cannot be stopped, he said. It is the will of the Lord and it will go on no matter what. So the devotees are happy. They don't, you know, and we see right now in Ukraine, again, I'm in touch with these devotees practically every day. In some of the hardest hit places like Kharkiv, which is just 25 miles from the border with Russia, they get bombed every day. The devotees are going out every day distributing prasadam and books. They go into the subways, which is where most of the people have to stay because of the bombs. They put up table with books and they distribute 700 plates a day, as much as they can. As much boga as they can get. They make prasadam and they go out and distribute. And people are saying, oh, these Hare Krishnas are our saviors. So just see, even in the hardest times, Krishna consciousness can be spread if we're determined. So yes, the devotees, even though this is a place of misery, this world, and we see how miserable one person can make so many millions of people. One person is behind this whole thing. And because of that one person, millions, about 4 million people have had to leave Ukraine. So, and again, getting bombed. And even those devotees, there were some of the devotee family in Mariupol, which is one of the worst hit places. They practically leveled that city. So finally, this one devotee family that I know of anyway, maybe others, they were able to leave. But the Russians didn't allow them to stay in their country. They took them from Mariupol into Russia and put them in a camp. So yes, they're better off than being in Mariupol being bombed. But now they're stuck in a camp in Russia. It's, you know, people are speculating the Russians are going to hold them hostage to try to negotiate and get what they want. But again, devotees in all circumstances, just if they just keep chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, and distributing books, distributing prasadam to the best of their ability, then we feel protected by the Lord, and we don't have to worry. It's all in Krishna's hands. He's in, one of the last things Prabhupada said before he left this planet was, Krishna is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. So we always have to be conscious, he was advising us, that wherever you are, whatever is going on, whether you're dancing on the pier or you're in some university distributing books or you're in a war zone, Krishna is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. Rātara Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.